on the face of the waters. So we know the Holy Spirit is the third person in the Trinity alongside God the Father and Jesus the Son. The Holy Spirit is God's personal presence. The Hebrew word is ruach. I can't quite get the noise, but that's what they do, ruach, meaning breath, wind, spirit. And the Bible Project, if you haven't heard of the Bible Project, awesome resource, videos and information online, Bible Project, they explain it like this. The Holy Spirit animates and sustains all creation, embodying God's active presence in the world. The Holy Spirit was right there at the beginning, at the start of creation, hovering over the waters, when God created the world, the beauty and the order, as we know in Genesis. And then in further in the Old Testament, we see times where the Holy Spirit is poured out on people, certain people for a specific sort of time or purpose. And we're just going to like briefly look at a couple of these this morning. And the first one is in 1 Samuel 16, and it's about David. So then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward. In that moment, in that really special moment, David was anointed with oil and the Holy Spirit as the future king of Israel. In Judges 6:34, we see the Spirit again. But the Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon, and he sounded the trumpet, and the Asherites were called out to follow him. Gideon, a lot of us would know him from the Old Testament, a judge, and he led the Israelites in battle, and he was clothed with the Spirit to do the task that God had given him to do. In Exodus 31, told you we were going everywhere. This isn't actually in chronological order at the moment, but bear with me. In Exodus 31, verse 3, we see again, the Lord said to Moses, "See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, from the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with ability and intelligence, with knowledge and all craftsmanship," that sounds awesome, "to devise artistic designs, to work with gold, silver, and bronze, in cutting stones for setting, and in carving wood, to work in every craft." That sounds awesome, eh? Sounds really awesome. Bezalel was filled with the Holy Spirit to perform craftsmanship and creative tasks in order to make special the tabernacle, the tent of meeting where the Spirit of the Lord dwell through the Ark of the Covenant. So cool how you see it in different ways. Hey, you know, he anointed David with his Spirit as a future king, Gideon as a leader, but also in creative tasks. I just love that, that example of Bezalel. And these are just very small examples this morning of the Spirit being upon people in the Old Testament. And we can see it was for clear purpose that God had for those people, that had specific purposes for them. But it was not yet the time when the Spirit had been poured out on all people. We know due to the fall, when sin entered God's perfect creation, there became a separation of God and creation. He no longer walked in the garden with Adam and Eve. He no longer fully dwelt among his creation. And we see that separation throughout the Old Testament. And the fact that the priest would have to go in once a year to the temple, once the temple was built, to the Holy of Holies, this very separate place where the Spirit of the Lord dwelt, and he would offer the sacrifice, the atonement for sin on behalf of the people. A very important, special, set-aside task. God's Spirit was poured out or filled people at times, but we can see that the separation there still was. Hey, we see that in that scriptures. And then I wrote, "But then came Jesus," because I thought that was really cool. "But then comes Jesus." And now we're going to look at Jesus' baptism. And this is in the Gospels, but I've taken it from Matthew 3 this morning. Matthew 3, verse 13. It says, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?' But Jesus answered him, 'Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness.' Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Do you notice the symbolism? Maybe you might have thought about it too. The Spirit was again hovering over the waters, over Jesus being baptized at the River Jordan. He was at the beginning of creation hovering over the waters, and then he was there hovering over Jesus, who began his earthly ministry after his baptism. The Spirit rests on him, and we see the Spirit empowering Jesus to begin the new creation. So we had creation, and then with Jesus ushering the new creation in, bringing the kingdom of God here on earth. What an amazing and powerful symbol of Jesus' purpose and anointing by God the Father. Hey, the Spirit over the waters at the beginning, the Spirit over Jesus in the waters at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And then we know that Jesus, for 3 years, fulfills his ministry on earth, and we follow those in the Gospels, don't we? And there's so many amazing stories, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, of what Jesus did in his time here on earth. And Jesus then speaks of the time when the separation will be no more. He speaks of his death and resurrection and the time when he will leave. He will no longer be physically on earth. And then the Spirit will come and be poured out upon people, that the Spirit of Jesus will live within people. And in John 14, he starts, packs this with his disciples too. Don't think fully understood. I don't think we would have fully understood if we were there, but he certainly shares with them about what's going to happen. John 14, 15 to 21 says, "If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you will also live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, you are in me, and I am in you." It's pretty powerful stuff. At the time of his death, in Matthew 27, it says, when Jesus had cried out in a loud voice, when he's on the cross, he gave up his spirit. And at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Like at the exact moment. Isn't that so cool? At the exact time that Jesus died, the curtain of the temple was ripped from top to bottom, symbolizing that God was no longer separated from his people, his creation. There was no longer need to be the Holy of Holies. Didn't need to be a place separated from creation, because Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice. He'd taken on our sin, our place, so that we could be reconciled to God. The separation was no more. And I love that in John, it tells us that Jesus says, "It is finished," as he dies. And in the NIV Study Bible notes, it says, "Jesus finished what he came to do. The end of the separation, to reconcile creation back to God. It is finished. That part is finished. No more." Jesus had done his purpose through the Spirit. He had reconciled creation back to God. In Jesus' death and resurrection, he fulfilled his purpose from the Father and paved the way for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. On not just some selected people, like in the Old Testament, but on all people. On all people. And we know that 50 days after Jesus was raised from the dead at Easter, by the Spirit of God, that the Spirit was poured out. Hey. And in Acts 2, I'm going to read just when that is in Acts 2, verse 1. "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And then in verse 17, just a little bit later on, Peter addresses the crowd. And I'm going to read this as well. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire, billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. In that passage, there was two things that stood out to me so strongly. It says, I will pour. It's not a little dribble or like a leaking tap. We've all had little drip, 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 dripping taps in our houses, haven't we? And they drive you nuts. It says, I will pour. God pours out his Spirit fully, abundantly. There's no like half measure. It's a full pour. That's what it says. I will pour out my Spirit on, and that in itself is amazing, right? It's not like a half thing. It's not like a little thing. He's not giving us a little taste of it. I will pour out my Spirit. And the second thing that I really took from that was when it says all people, on all people. It's no longer just a select few, like in the Old Testament. All people that call on the name of the Lord, he will pour out his Spirit abundantly on all people. That is so cool. And then they will have prophecies, visions, and dreams. The Spirit will enable people to have these visions, dreams, prophecies from God for his purpose to bring all humanity and creation to him. The Spirit of God has been poured out and lives within us just as he promised the disciples. Just to bring it all back together. We sort of had a deep dive. It's not really a deep dive. It's like a shallow dive into the Holy Spirit this morning because we just don't have all the time to go into all of it. But I encourage you to look at some of those verses or really delve into it this week because it is just amazing to trace the Holy Spirit's work through. The Holy Spirit was there at creation. Hey, empowering, he was there at the new creation when Jesus came and the kingdom of God came. The temple curtain ripped. Jesus made a way for reconciliation between us and God. The gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out at Pentecost on all people. And we are now the temple, the special place where God dwells. Isn't that just blow your mind when you actually think about it? And all those people, imagine all those people in the Old Testament, they'd be like, huh? And like we live in the time where we get to have the Spirit of God within us. Just incredible. Jesus' Spirit lives within us. And I don't know if there's anything much more amazing than that, right? When you actually take time to think it, when we actually think about it, the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of the living God, dwells within us. There is no longer any separation. The power of Jesus lives each and every day within us. It's just mind-blowing. What a gift. So the two things, as we come into a time of reflection, or celebration, you can celebrate and reflect at the same time, hey. The two thoughts I had as we kind of come to a close, looking at this quickly this morning, the first thing I've just entitled, accept the gift. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit or presence of Jesus within us. If you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit or want a fresh infilling, there's no better day than today. It's Pentecost, right? It's the celebration, the remembering, the day when we reflect on the Spirit being poured out. There's no better time today to be refilled or filled with the Holy Spirit. And they've also said, there's no time like the present. Who doesn't want to spend another day and miss this gift? The second thing is be empowered. So accept the gift, or re-accept the gift, or continue to accept the gift, because I know a lot of us are filled with the Holy Spirit. We are living in that life. But the second thing is be empowered. The Spirit empowers and that encourages, challenges, comforts, and guides. It gives us ability, as it said it's in the Word, to prophesy, have dreams, and see visions. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. Who wants to see dreams and have prophecies and have visions? Yeah? Jesus' Spirit is with us every moment. His Spirit is within us every moment. That's what gives us power. And in that confidence to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus, even those moments like Lucy shared that she had this week, just sharing with her friends, her colleagues, just glimpses of what God has done. And we don't know what seeds are sowed. Hey, let's live or continue to live in what this power today to bring people to Jesus, but also for this Holy Spirit to live in us and shape us to be more like God. And yes, I've got one more verse for you if we haven't covered enough verses enough today. Very well known verse. In Acts 1 verse 8 says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth," which is literally New Zealand, right? Literally New Zealand. The Spirit empowers us. Accept the gift. Be empowered. It's for us. Jesus' Spirit shapes us to be like Him, but it's also for us to share with others the good news of Jesus. As we come to a close in this time, we're just going to share a prayer. I've got a couple of people to read a prayer this morning that just shares so beautifully about the Holy Spirit and at Pentecost. So I invite us now to listen to this prayer.